We shall now turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and our text for this morning is verse 24, Mark 9, 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Faith is vital for salvation. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. With saving faith, we get to heaven. Without saving faith, we end up in hell. So here's a man who believes, and yet at the same time, he's very conscious of his unbelief. He's aware that his faith is very weak. And he asks Christ to help him to believe. In a sense, it's a great confession. And a confession which even the weakest Christian can make. Lord, I believe. Lord, I do believe. Lord, my faith is very, very weak, but yet I believe in you as my Savior. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me to overcome unbelief. Help me more and more to trust in you. Well, first, here today we see the troubled disciples. And we have an interesting contrast between the Mount of Transfiguration at the beginning of the chapter and then down the valley here where we see the disciples and a devil-possessed boy, and they're trying to cast out the devil out of this boy. How wonderful it is to see Jesus there and Peter, James and John on the mount. And Jesus himself is transfigured, transformed. He's shining with the brightness of heaven. His very clothes are glistening. It's as if it were something of heaven has come down upon that mountain, and a little bit of the glory of Christ is revealed. The veil which covers his divine glory, as it were, is lifted a little so that the disciples see the beauty of Christ. And there are the two heavenly visitors, Elijah and Moses, speaking with Jesus. And Peter is really amazed, and he's frightened, and yet at the same time he's really appreciating this situation, and he says, let's make three tabernacles here on the mount, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Let's stay here. This is such a heavenly experience, such a wonderful occasion. It would be great to just stay here. But of course, Christ cannot stay there. He has come to be humbled, to suffer, and to die. And the cloud appears, the Shekinah glory, and a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Don't equate him with Moses and Elijah. He's unique. Listen to Jesus. He's the greatest. And then the vision was over. And they come down from the mountain, and they're seeing a crowd gathered round the disciples. A man with his son possessed by a devil. And he's asked the disciples to cast the devil out of his son, but the disciples try, and they cannot. They're unable to do it. And there are the scribes mocking. And you can see the crowd looking on rather cynically. watching how lost the poor disciples are without Jesus, how weak and feeble they are. They'd obviously tried to cast out this spirit, but didn't work. And yet earlier in the gospel, in chapter 6, we're told how Jesus gave them power to cast out spirits, and they went out on a mission, and they were able to heal the sick and cast out spirits, and all sorts of wonderful things happened, but now they're weak. Why? Because they're not trusting in Christ. Because they're thinking they've got some latent power inside themselves, but no. The disciples were weak, just like other men, just like Samson when his hair was cut. They couldn't do anything in their own strength. There they were, failing. What a sad picture. And the scribes, the Pharisees, mocking. Where is your God? Where is your God? Where's your master? Where's the power? Where's the miracles? And this is the situation we sometimes find ourselves in today, isn't it? Where people say to us, where's your God? We feel so weak. The preaching of the gospel lacks power. We see the church is declining. We see the cynicism of the world around us, and we long for power. But where's the power? God seems to be absent, so much absent. We long for his presence. We long for his power. And we see the cause of God declining, and we see humanism and secularism taking over our society, and all kinds of immorality being promoted in high places. Where's God? How much we need God. And without God, without Christ, we can do nothing. So there's the troubled disciples, helpless, confused, struggling in the face of a devil-possessed boy. But then next we notice how Christ comes to the rescue. Just at this critical moment, he appears. And that's often the case, isn't it? Just when you're desperate, just when you're really stumped, just when you don't know what to do, and then God steps in. God helps. When we're panicking and we cry out, Lord, help me. I'm sure you've found yourself, fellow Christian, that God has helped you. He has delivered you. And it's often when we are desperate that we really turn to God. And God wonderfully delivers us. So, Christ approaches. He comes down from the mountain. And suddenly, the crowd notice him. They were so taken up with what was going on. And they thought Jesus must be far away. And then there's Jesus and the three disciples, and we're told that they were amazed that he was there just at the critical time, and they come running to him. Now here's the one who is able to perform miracles. Here's the powerful one, the one who can stand against Satan, and the one who's never confused or humbled by the scribes and the Pharisees. So the crowd are amazed. They weren't expecting him. Thankfully, Jesus is never that far away. He's always near to those who call upon him. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We have here next a troubled man. Jesus asks What are you disputing about? He asks the scribes. And this man steps forward from the crowd and he says, I brought my son along. He's possessed by a dumb spirit. And this spirit affects him in a certain way. It tears him. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes with his teeth. And he suffers from an epileptic fit brought on by the devil possession. Any father would be greatly troubled. We hate to see our children suffer. It's awful when you see them in pain, or when you see a child suffering in some way, or if they're suffering from epilepsy, it's horrible to see a child going into a fit. Very alarming and troubling. Later on, he says that from time to time, this spirit casts him into the fire and into the water, trying to destroy him, to end his life. And this is his only son, and he's troubled in this way. Maybe you have a son, a daughter, and you're troubled. You're concerned. You see them suffering. You see them suffering with some illness, perhaps. Or maybe you see them unconverted. And that's even worse than an illness. Or you see them backslidden. And you're disturbed about it. But you can come to Christ. And you can address you can address him with your concerns. You can bring your situation to him. And it's great that we have somebody that we can go to, even when we're desperate. There is somebody there, somebody that we know is able to help. It's always hard for a parent who loves their child to see their child suffering, or to see their child in the hands of Satan. But you notice next what this man's, what Jesus says here. This man says, I brought my son to your disciples, and they could not cast out the devil from him. And Jesus responds saying, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? The disciples, they had failed. Jesus had called them, he'd taught them, he'd encouraged them in so many ways, and yet their faith had failed. They weren't able to cast out the devil. Oh, faithless generation. They were looking to themselves and trusting in their own power. And then when they couldn't cast the devil out of the boy, they despaired. They were faithless. And this man himself, he's saying, if you can do anything, help us. His faith is failing too. He'd shown some faith when he brought his son to Jesus, to the disciples. But now he's despairing. If you can do anything. And of course the scribes, they had no faith at all in Christ. They were always arguing and criticizing and saying that he was performing miracles by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They have no faith in the Messiah. But it's especially the disciples that disappoint Christ. How long shall I be with you? How hard it was for Christ to come from heaven's holiness into this world's sinfulness, and even to find his own chosen, trained disciples doubting. How long shall I be with you? He longed to be in heaven again, in holiness and perfection. What a humiliation, what suffering he endured just from the presence of sin and unbelief around him. A faithless generation. But then we have here a tormented child. Jesus says, bring him to me. They brought the child to Jesus. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it began to tear at the son again, at the boy again. Boy fell on the ground and started wallowing. He was having another fit. The devil hates Jesus. Coming near to Jesus, the devil tears the child. He sees Jesus as the enemy. He knows that his time is short. The day is coming soon when Satan and all the devils will be cast into hell and locked up forever, tormented throughout eternity. His time is short. And therefore he does all the damage that he has, that he can, while he has some liberty to do so. You notice the difference between Christ and the devil. The devil tries to destroy the child, tears him, causes him to go into a fit, foaming at the mouth, gnashing his teeth. But Christ says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Takes the children, he embraces them, he blesses them. God is the creator. God is the one who's loving and kind and gracious and good. The devil is the destroyer, the one who tears and causes pain and misery and destruction. What a contrast we have between Christ and the devil. And then we notice how Jesus deals with the Father. Jesus asks kindly, how long has he suffered in this way? It's a bit like a doctor. How long has your son been suffering from this? And he replies, since he was a child, since he was young. He shows sympathy. And then he pleads, if you can do anything. He has some faith in Christ, and it's because of that that he's brought his son to Jesus. But his faith was knocked by the inability of the disciples to cast out the devil. If you can do anything, he doubts. And then Jesus turns from focusing on the boy to focus on the Father and to draw out the faith of the Father and to strengthen the Father's faith. The Father said, if you can do anything. And then Jesus says to him, well, if you believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. You must believe. Now, sometimes Jesus would perform miracles without faith. For example, when he raised dead people, they didn't have any faith in him. You think of the widow of Nain's son. Jesus came along and touched the bier and the coffin, and the young man sat up. So, in that sense, the faith of the individual wasn't necessary for Jesus to perform the miracle. But yet, Jesus is concerned, more concerned about faith than he is about miracles. He's concerned about this man here to draw out his faith. And so he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He's drawing out, he's maturing his faith. Last Sunday night, I heard a sermon preached by Joel Beakey, and he was preaching on the woman of Sarepta, the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman who had a devil-possessed daughter. And the title of his sermon was Maturing Her Faith. And this woman comes along, you remember, comes along to Jesus, and she says, "Have mercy upon my daughter." And Jesus, you know, to begin with, seems to ignore her. There's apparent ignoring. And then, as she keeps crying to him, the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Put this woman away. She's troubling us. She's causing a fuss." And Jesus says, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It's apparent rejection, isn't it? Mostly, Jesus' ministry up till his death was to the Israelites. It was only after his death that he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations." And so he says, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." How does the woman respond? You would think by being ignored, that she would go away. By hearing these words, that again she would go away. But no, she comes and she falls at his feet and cries out, "Lord, be merciful to me." And then there's an apparent insult. "It's not right to take the children's food and to give it to dogs." He seemed to call her a dog. And yet, she responds. Her faith has been drawn out all the time. And she responds by catching hold of that word "dog." And she says, "Yes, I'm just a dog, but the dogs get the crumbs. When the children are eating food, they let a few crumbs drop. And all I'm wanting, Lord, I don't want the children's food. I don't want to take away from them. All I want is a crumb. And if you give me a crumb, my daughter will be healed. She'll be restored." Apparent ignoring, apparent rejection, apparent insult. And then, "Oh woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." How wonderfully our faith was being drawn out by Christ. And so the Lord puts us through situations like that. Hard situations, trying situations at times. Doesn't immediately answer our prayers, so that our faith will be drawn forth, increased and developed. Now, faith, of course, is a gift of God. But our duty is to believe. And as we believe, he builds up, he develops, he increases our faith. So Jesus is dealing with this father, drawing out his faith. "If you believe," he says. And there's the child going through this fit on the ground. And he says, "If you believe, I'm wanting to deal with you. If you believe, all things are possible to the one who believes." And so next we see the man crying out in weak but real faith, "Lord, I do believe. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." he expresses his faith. He would like to have more faith, stronger faith. And he indeed prays for faith. Lord, I believe. Yes, I do believe. I believe you're able to do it. I believe in you as the Messiah. But help my unbelief. Help me overcome unbelief. It's like the disciples when they said to Jesus, increase our faith. That's a prayer that we should have. Lord, increase our faith. Do you believe? Do you believe in Christ as your Savior? Do you trust in Him? Really? Can you say, as this man says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Is all your hope and confidence in Christ? Yes, you're a sinner. Yes, you're weak. You're struggling. But Lord, I believe. Perhaps afraid to say that you believe, but yet, do you believe? Aware of your own weakness, but are you looking to Christ? Are you praying to Christ? Are you asking Him to have mercy upon you? Are you praying, help thou mine unbelief? And so finally we see here a great miracle. The child is going through this fit in front of them, fit brought on by devil possession. The people run together, curiosity, something odd is taking place. They see what's going on. They want to be nearer to see it, and they run together. And Jesus rebukes the spirit. Thou deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him. And the devil leaves him. And the boy is lying there, half dead. In fact, they think that he's dead because he's not moving. But Jesus raises him up. Why could the disciples not cast out this spirit? They come to Jesus and they ask him, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus replied, this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. There's a lesson for us there, isn't there? How important it is for us to pray. To have a life of prayer. To pray and to fast. To set apart from time to time certain periods, certain times of particularly calling upon the name of the Lord. You and I, we're such weak people. The devil is so much stronger. He's always tempting us. He's always confronting us. The world around us is seeking to lead us astray. The flesh within us is attacking, tempting. How can we overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil? Prayer. Prayer and fasting. This kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. A great miracle has been performed. And at the same time, there's lessons for you and me. The importance of looking after our own souls. The importance of setting apart times for prayer. For earnest prayer. For calling upon the name of the Lord. So if you're here today, you're a Christian, there's a message for you here. Your faith needs to grow and to be strengthened, and it's by prayer and fasting that your faith is increased. And if you're unconverted today, well, here's the only one who's able to save you. Come to Him, believe in Him, trust in Him. And if you're full of doubts and fears, can you say as this man said, Lord, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that thou wouldst help us. Help us to learn from thy word. Help us to receive that word. Whatever our situation is, thy word is relevant for us. Grant, O Lord, that our hearts would be drawn to thee. Grant that we would have a sense of the Lord and deal with thee. And do thou, O Lord, grant to us faith, and grant to us that our faith would be increased. Help us to believe, and help us to overcome our unbelief. Help us to be diligent in looking after our own souls, so that we're not self-confident like the disciples were here, but that rather we would be more and more trusting in Christ. For if we have faith in Christ, to him that believeth, all things are possible. Bless us then, each one. Pardon sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing praise is in Psalm 115, Scottish Psalter, page 395. Psalm 115, at verse 12, the Lord of us hath mindful been, and he will bless us still. He will the house of Israel bless. Bless Aaron's house he will, both small and great that fear the Lord. He will them surely bless. The Lord will you and your seed, yea, more and more increase. 12 to 18, to God's praise.